I have a question for you. How much darkness does it take to put out the light of one candle? Now, of course, if you ponder that question even for a few seconds, you will quickly recognize that it's a trick question. You see, no matter how much darkness there is, it cannot put out the light of one candle. The reason for this is that darkness is not a substance or a power of its own. Instead, darkness is simply the absence of light. In fact, that's why Scripture will often speak of God in terms of light and evil in terms of darkness. You see, Scripture clearly teaches that there is only one God and He is all-powerful. In contrast, many pagan religions suggest that there are two equal but opposite powers, the power of light and the power of darkness, and we have to wait till the end to see which one will come out on top. For example, in the popular movie series Star Wars, we hear the characters talk about the light side of the Force versus the dark side of the Force. And they were always in conflict, and no one was sure who would win in the end. But my friends, this is not true to reality. You see, no amount of evil can defeat God because God is the Almighty Creator. And what is evil? Evil is merely the result of angels and humans rebelling against their Creator. The creation against the Creator. The creation against the Creator. You know what? God could destroy evil in a heartbeat. He could destroy evil anytime He wants. But then, He would have to destroy us, because we are evil by nature. You see, the reason God has not destroyed us is not that the power of darkness is somehow hindering Him and holding back His wrath. No. The reason God has not destroyed us is that He is merciful. He is merciful and He is doing all He can to rescue us from our own self-made darkness and bring us into His kingdom of light, life, and love. So with that said, I would now like to focus on these words of Jesus at the beginning of our gospel reading, where He says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now you need to know, Jesus said these words at the end of the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles, during which there were various rituals which reminded the people of how God had protected and provided for their ancestors as they were wandering through the wilderness. 2 weeks ago, we learned about one of the rituals which entailed pouring water on the altar in the temple area as a reminder of how God provided water to their ancestors in the desert. And then in the context of that ritual, remember what Jesus said? He said, "Come to me and drink." Jesus was thereby stressing to them and us that we need something far greater than physical water. We need Jesus to quench our spiritual thirst. Well, then understood, there was another ritual that took place during the Feast of Tabernacles. And this ritual entailed lighting many, many candles in the temple, thereby dispelling the darkness. Now, this ritual reminded God's people of how God provided light and warmth for His people in the darkness of the desert night. And He did that by appearing in their midst as a pillar of fire. It was in the context of this ritual that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." In fact, the Apostle John wrote similar words about God's Son back in chapter 1 of his Gospel. Listen, Through Christ all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, this helps us understand what we heard later on in our gospel reading, where the Apostle John made the comment, "No one sees Jesus because His hour had not yet come." You see, at this point, Jesus' ministry was going about letting people know the truth about who He was. And as a result, many wanted to kill Him. But they couldn't kill Him. They couldn't kill Him because His time had not yet come. Jesus was in control. However, even when Jesus' time does come to suffer, even when Jesus' time does come to die, He's still in control. The powers of darkness thought they had overcome Jesus when He was on the cross. But Jesus was thereby overcoming the darkness by His own sacrificial death for us. You know, in today's culture, many mock Christianity. They believe they have overcome Jesus and His antiquated teachings. But you know what? No amount of darkness can put out the light. In fact, God continues to shine the light of His truth in this world of spiritual darkness, in the hope that more and more people will come into the light through faith in Jesus and thereby receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life with the God who loves them. And that's why Jesus was preaching and teaching at the Feast of Tabernacles. He was desperately trying to save those people from their own spiritual darkness. In fact, Jesus explains to them that His testimony about Himself is true. Why? Because His testimony is backed up by His own Father, whom the unbelievers do not know because they continue to reject the Son of the Father. But what does Jesus mean when He says that He passes judgment on no one? This seems to be a contradiction, because later on in the gospel reading, Jesus clearly says, "I have much to say in judgment of you." So how can we make sense of that? Well, simply put, when Jesus says that He judges no one, what He means is that the reason He came into the world was to save sinners, not condemn them. Therefore, if we do end up in the darkness of hell, it's not because God wants us there. If we end up in the darkness of hell, we have no one to blame but ourselves. For example, listen to these words from John chapter 3. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Did you hear that? When Jesus says to the Jews, "I have much to say in judgment of you," He's not trying to condemn them. Instead, He's trying to save them. He's trying to save them by shining the light of His Word into their spiritual darkness in the hope that they will recognize their sin, repent of it, and trust in Him for salvation. Sadly, though, when the light of God's Word exposes our dark thoughts, words, and deeds, many are tempted to remain in the darkness because they don't want their sin to be exposed. In other words, people do not want to admit that they are sinners who need a Savior. As long as we choose to remain in the darkness, We reject the life and love of God's kingdom of light. Now, my friends, I know that when the light of God's word exposes our sin, it can be very, very painful. No one likes to have their sins exposed, because when our sins are exposed, it brings shame, it brings guilt, it brings fear of judgment. But here's the good news. The same Jesus who exposes our sin also says to you and me, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You know what that means? When God's word exposes all your dark thoughts and desires and deeds, you can come to Jesus with those evil desires, thoughts, words, and deeds, and He will cleanse you from guilt and shame by the power of His shed blood, and He will give you the hope of eternal life in His love by the power of His victory over the grave. We heard about this in our second reading from 1 John. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sins. Isn't that wonderful news? All the guilt and shame that weighs you down, the sins you know about, but no one else does, because you'd be too ashamed to tell them, God knows about them. And yet, what does He say? Come to my Son, and His blood will cleanse you from all guilt and shame. And so Jesus tells the unbelieving Jews that as long as they justify their sin, as long as they reject Him, they will die in their sins. In other words, unless they repent and trust in Jesus, they have no hope. They will end up spending eternity in the darkness of their own unbelief. And that's precisely why Jesus pleads with them and says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own, but I speak just what the Father has taught me. Did you hear that? Jesus is actually telling them in advance that they're going to put Him on a cross, and that this is actually part of the Father's plan to save them, if they will only repent and believe. Well, today, you have been basking in the light of God's Word. Now, the light of God's Word exposes our dark desires and deeds, which deserve God's wrath. But that light of God's Word also proclaims that God's one and only Son suffered God's wrath in our place that we might be forgiven and have eternal life in His love. You see, the reason that we believers gather here on a regular basis is so that we might bask in the light of God's Word and thereby receive His gifts of forgiveness, love, life, and the wisdom to live as His children. However, we don't keep the light of God's Word to ourselves. Another reason this congregation exists is so that we can be a light for Christ for other people in this world who still are living in spiritual darkness. As we heard in our Old Testament reading from Isaiah, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and to bring back those of Israel. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Amen. Now may